Welcome to the Butts in the Seats podcast, episode number 131.
We back.
Emily, how are you doing today?
Thriving.
Emily, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is it we do here?
You know, I don't know, because you haven't asked me that in so long.
I realized that the other day.
We are so bad at remembering to do this intro. We just get into it and we just do it. Well, Nick, we take a week-by-week look at the slow but inevitable downfall of WCW through the late 90s and early 2000s.
And what was the new version?
We look at the... I don't remember, honestly.
I remember it being alliteration, but other than that, I can't tell you.
Yeah, I think the original one's the one that sticks. But, like, we're in 2000 now, so it's not slow, it's not inevitable, it's not even a downfall, it's just the plunge to oblivion.
We're here in the pit.
Well, we take a week-by-week look at the development of the pit.
Yes, today we are 1 week. We are 1 day removed from Fall Brawl. We are talking
not even a week.
We are talking about the September 18th, 2000 WCW Monday Nitro.
Yeah, this is literally not even a week after. It's the night after.
Yeah. Which I think because we had our WrestleMania episode in between, it just feels like more time has passed. Like,
it did.
Like, nope, it's just the same.
Hope y'all enjoyed our WrestleMania episode, by the way.
The more time passes, the more I'm like, yeah, that was kind of pretty mid.
It's the most forgettable WrestleMania I've watched in a while. I don't remember much from it at all, which is really sad.
But this Nitro is live from Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, a city I cannot say I've heard of before this.
No, and it feels like a lot of people on commentary also have not, because certain people do not know the name of this city.
Ratings-wise, this show did a 2.75, down from a 3.2 last week. As mentioned, they don't do a 3 again until the very last one.
Which, like we said, just a curiosity watch, but still, woof.
And Raw did a 5.7.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
I mean, Fall Brawl wasn't that bad, if I remember correctly.
Like, it was.
We actually kind of enjoyed it, so kind of a bummer.
Well, no one bought it.
Yeah.
I think it was like 75,000 buys, like...
No one bought it, so nobody knew that it was kind of okay.
Well, I think anybody who bought it was definitely going to watch this week. So it's like, all right, what about the other 2 million people?
Right.
But yeah, the hope that people wouldn't be able to find Raw has not really been founded.
No.
I have some backstage notes before we get into this. My first note is Raw is officially going to TNN next week. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is, I guess, still on USA. Down in OVW, apparently Bob Orton's son recently debuted.
Oh, wow.
Wonder what he's doing nowadays.
Yeah, probably faded off. Not doing much of anything.
On his personal website, Mark Madden apologized to Lou Thesz.
Because remind me who Lou Thesz is?
Just very old school graps wrestler.
Okay.
I forget if it was on Nitro or on Fall Brawl, but Mark Madden was like, oh, Lou Thesz, known for beating up women. Yeah. Apparently, Pamela Paulshock injured her ankle on Thunder.
Oh, no.
I don't know how.
Oh, no, not Pamela.
WCW apparently wants to do a angle with Vampiro, and they're like, all right, we're going to do you and singer Billy Idol against Mike Awesome and David Cassidy, who is from the Partridge Family.
Great.
This has not happened.
I feel like Billy Idol is too big to get on this. They don't have the money for that.
In news I already told you, but as it officially happened, Spice got released.
Oh.
Yep, and then they're like, oh, she was going to host that new morning show, and then they bailed on that, and they went, well, we don't need you now.
Yeah, I got nothing for you. That was our whole plan, and now, sorry, bye.
Apparently, Booker T finally has merch. Apparently, he did not have any until now.
Oh, my God.
I didn't bother trying to find these, but apparently the Harris twins taped segments for both the Maury Povich show and Jenny Jones show.
I don't know the Jenny Jones show, but...
Neither do I.
Why were they on Maury?
I don't.
Okay.
You are the Nazis. Goldberg apparently appears on The Daily Show as, like, you know, the interview. So I could not find this. The Daily Show is not good about, like, keeping their stuff.
Yeah, they're not good at, like, archival footage. That would be cool to find. If anybody does find that, like, we're big Daily Show fans. So that'd be cool to watch.
I love seeing the notes of, like, oh, wow, you guys were just wrong about this. Like, oh, Scott Hall is expected to come back next week.
Woof.
Nope.
No, he's not.
Conan is apparently still getting half pay because he's not cleared to wrestle, despite them putting him in matches.
He's only getting half pay?
Yeah.
That sucks. Why the hell is he still here?
In something we'll talk about a little bit more during the actual show, Disco Inferno is apparently bringing out some plastic duck called the Disco Duck, and at one point, Conan literally handcuffed himself to the duck backstage to keep Disco from fucking bringing it out to the ring.
Oh my god, it didn't work!
But that's kind of all for backstage notes. No weather report, because there's no thunder in between Fall Brawl and this.
They're clear skies.
So Emily, do you want to get into this Nitro?
I feel like we have to. Otto is licking my feet.
Yes, I see.
This is gross.
Yeah, we have to. It's literally the entire premise of this podcast.
I know, but like, this episode sucked.
Yeah.
This was a really bad episode. There are some episodes where we like get halfway through and we're like, okay, it's not that bad.
This was just like neutral bad, where I was just like, okay.
The matches were not awful, but like the overarching story that was going on behind the matches, it just ruined the whole show.
Yeah. But main show, we get a lengthy Nitro opening again, and we get Pyro.
Like, is this okay. A new intro?
No, I think it's like a week or two. We've kind of had the long one. We have Tony Schiavone, Mark Madden, and Scott Hudson on commentary, and we go pretty much directly into the first match, because Tony Schiavone has to, like, shout context for why this match is happening over, like, music and Pyro, and it's just a mess. Like, okay, yeah, Paul Orndorff got hurt last night. We are resuming the match from where it got stopped.
Right.
Which means our opening match is Rey Mysterio and Tigress versus Mark Jindrak, Sean O'Hare, Chuck Palumbo, Mike Sanders, and maybe or maybe not Sean Stasiak.
Yes, Sean Stasiak. Spoiler.
Because he's on commentary, and I'm like, I guess he's not in the match. Commentary confirms he's not in the match. Spoilers, he's part of the match.
Once again, I had to yell at Nick about this match. Rules get broken, guys. It's going to happen. We need to be over it.
Rey almost immediately hits a Bronco Buster on Jindrak. Jindrak hits a torture rack neck breaker, and Rey uses Jindrak's back to vault into a Hurricane Rana on O'Hare. But O'Hare catches him and power bombs him. It's a cool spot.
Yeah, I'm happy that Rey is able to do some like fast and flippy moves in this. It feels like old Rey or new Rey. I don't know.
I think the fact that it's like, okay, you don't have the other part of the match to really build on. You have to do something, and you can't just go, okay, he's out immediately.
Right.
Mark Jindrak holds Rey down for a Shauntan bomb, and Rey manages to pull Jindrak in the way, which I'm like, Jesus, the fucking core strength.
Oh, I know.
So O'Hare hits the Shauntan bomb on Mark Jindrak. Tigress just comes in, and they double pin Jindrak and O'Hare. Four people cannot be legal in the match. That's not how that works.
Who cares? It looked cool. It was a cool double pin spot. Tigress got to do some, like, leg drop stuff. Like, she looked good in this.
That's later, but yeah.
Okay, but, like, I recognize that there's a rule break. But can we just appreciate that, like, fun, exciting, entertaining wrestling is happening, and it's not fucky, and it's not Kevin Nash in the corner for the 10,000th time? Like, let's enjoy what we have.
Yeah, because Rey hits a running bulldog on Palumbo, and then he and Tigress hit, like, an assisted wheelbarrow leg drop.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Sure.
They go for the Nutcracker, and Sean Stasiak leaves commentary. He crushes Rey and then just gets in the ring, and I'm like, okay. Palumbo catapults Tigress into Rey again, and Palumbo and Stasiak double team Rey, like, just openly in the match. Just like, are you in this? Are you not? What the fuck?
The rules relax.
Palumbo goes to leapfrog Stasiak, but does not get the height he needs and just, like, hits Stasiak in the back of the neck.
Yeah, I did note, like, timing felt a little weird there. Like, the match was so well choreographed up to this point and so clean that when this messed up, I was like, ooh.
Yeah,
Stasiak
holds Rey up, but it's the one thing they didn't want to happen.
What?
And Palumbo accidentally punches Stasiak. We get some miscommunication as Rey does his 619 turnaround thing, and Stasiak isn't sure whether to, like, grab the foot from the floor or not, and then, like, eventually kind of, like, trip pushes him.
Yeah, I think, honestly, in hindsight, I think Sean Stasiak is the problem in this match. His timing just doesn't work.
I don't think you need
to
note in this match. You can just stop that is the problem.
I can never remember which one you tell me gets better.
O'Hare.
Oh, okay. But yeah, as soon as he gets in, all the timing gets a little wonky. Like, I'm not going to praise Chuck Palumbo. But he wasn't the problem.
Yes. Stasiak eventually decides, okay, I'll trip him. He sends Rey forward into a Palumbo belly-to-belly. Kiwi runs out. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, because they interfered in his match for no reason.
This happened so quickly with no pomp or circumstance or anything. I had to back it up to figure out, like, where did he come from? When did this happen?
Yeah.
All I just heard was commentary go, oh, Kiwi.
So he hits Stasiak from behind with a chair. Tigress then gets in the ring and manages to, they do a double pin again, but this is Tigress sneakily pinning Sean Stasiak as Palumbo pins Rey. Again, it's not a spot that can happen. That's not how tag matches work.
Whatever. How did you feel about that sell that Stasiak did after the chair shot?
I don't recall it.
Oh my God. He got hit by the chair on the back by Kiwi. And he just, like, it didn't look hard. It was like a step above a Hogan hit. But he tumbled forward. Like, he had to, like, vault himself up and over the top rope into the ring.
Oh,
there's
right.
no way the physics would have worked for him to go into the ring like that from that angle of a chair hit. There's no way. It's like, what the fuck is going on here, guys?
But yeah, so Rey and Stasiak are now out. So we are down to Chuck Palumbo and Mike Sanders against Tigress.
My girl.
Palumbo, for some reason, gets into it like with the ref, who pushes him into a roll-up from Tigress. And Tigress just pins Chuck Palumbo.
Yeah, that kind of buries Chuck Palumbo.
What have you done, Chuck Palumbo?
That man is like, he's got to be like 220, 230. Like nothing but muscle. Yeah. He's all leg. Tigress is, you know, a 90s, early 2000s woman. So there is no fat on her. There is
pounds.
No muscle. 80 pounds soaking wet. You can blow her over with a slight breeze. But she's going to roll up Chuck. Like, okay, let's go.
So yeah, we're down to Tigress and Mike Sanders. And you know who's fucking into this? The crowd. They are big. And they're like, oh shit.
I liked this a lot.
Sanders goes to press slam Tigress, but Tigress slips out and locks in a sleeper. Sanders gets out with a snapmare, but Rey Mysterio just blatantly interferes after being eliminated. Hits a springboard dropkick in front of the ref. Tigress hits a face buster. Mark Madden calls it a stuff buster.
It is a stuff buster.
And then dances to the pin with her crotch literally on Mike Sanders' face.
Did you hear what Mark Madden said about that?
I did. I didn't bother noting it because I was never going, ugh.
It was gross. I'll give you that. But let's like enjoy the pin first before we say this stupid fucking line. I'm happy for her. I like that she got the pin.
She pinned four of the Natural Born Thrillers.
Good for her. The Natural Born Thrillers are nothing. They are getting their burial as they deserve. They suck. Go Tigress.
She fucking pinned four of them.
Good.
And I don't think she pinned anybody the night before, but I can't rule it out.
You know, maybe she's been working out. No, but Mark Madden says, there was something fishy about that cover.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yep. Can't have women be successful without undermining them a little bit.
The other filthy animals come out to celebrate, and we just cut to Kevin Nash backstage going, these guys fucking suck.
They sure do.
They need a coach, and it's like...
Yeah, this is going to be like a whole thing with like Kevin Nash as their coach?
I don't know. Kevin Nash is like talking to like two random security guards. One of them just blatantly looks in the camera.
Like, what is going on? Like, why? Where did this coach thing come from?
I don't know. In terms of this match, though, yeah, it definitely was some fun action, you know. Logic of Tigress pinning four of them. It's like,
whatever. The logic is absolutely lacking, and you're right that the rules got broken, but this was a very fun match.
Yeah. My other problem with the rules being broken is it's so critical to how the match flows that, like, it is a clear choice to go, yeah. Just fuck it.
Yeah.
And before anyone says anything, yes, I have seen regular tag matches where both people are getting pinned. Technically, you only have to pin them once, so only the one counts. The other one's just for show.
Okay.
I've seen it. It happens. Whatever.
Oh, that's whatever.
No, because that one doesn't actually matter. That's just a little, you know.
Okay.
That's some sprinkles as opposed to, hey, I made you a cone out of bees. Because okay. That's what this is. But I'm with you on... Oh my God, hey, it's actually Rey Mysterio.
It's Rey Mysterio getting to be Rey Mysterio. This match, I think, prioritized entertainment over logic. And you know what? Fuck it. At this point in WCW, I'm okay with that.
This actually felt like Rey.
No, you're right.
But let's move on. We see Goldberg has a locker room. And I'm like,
sure,
I guess he's here. Back from commercial, the Natural Born Thrillers are with Kevin Nash. And this just starts with awkward comedy. Where Kevin Nash is like, you say that again, you're going to be SOL. Fucking line read of the century, Sean O'Hare. And you know what that means.
Jesus Christ.
No notes, Sean.
Literally nothing can be coy. We can't keep anything just like, oh, the audience will figure it out.
I don't know if I agree with you on that. I'm just like, just a weird line of dialogue that was clearly written for them.
But. It did not need to be said.
No, it
didn't.
That's
why I'm like, why can't we just let it lie? Like, why can't we just assume that the audience is smart enough to know what SOL means?
But he doesn't even say what it is.
I know, but he points out that it does mean something. So therefore, I don't know. It's stupid.
So Nash has some chalk and he draws out a game plan, which ends up spelling, "You suck." And it takes the Thrillers a good, 10 seconds to go, wait, what?
This isn't a plan. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to do, an NFL, basically, a play plan.
I feel like they just discovered that they have chalkboards. Because I feel like they keep doing gags with these.
They did this with the whiteboard last week, too. Yeah, they discovered that they have boards. And Kevin Nash likes to doodle.
We get Tony Schiavone throwing to Nitro stills of Fall Brawl's main event and the Goldberg-Steiner match. And I'm like, oh, they're not showing Vince Russo at all. That feels strange.
Interesting. Interesting, isn't it?
And so Goldberg's music hits, but swerve. Vince Russo has struck again. We get Russo doing the whole fucking Goldberg entrance, and he's mocking the security guards around him. And they note, apparently the crowd did not see any of that. Because they are popping big because they get to be Goldberg.
Because they think it's Goldberg. Oh,
they don't see it's Russo until the pyro goes out and it's him.
Wow. I feel like that was intentional because they wanted the cheers.
Well, the other thing is, they still pop when they see it's Russo because it's Canada and their team Fuck Goldberg.
Oh, I guess that, yeah.
Yeah, the fact that it's Canada and Fuck Goldberg is going to come up several times during this show. By the way, he's just not here tonight.
Goldberg, yeah, no. Well, he quit.
So Russo brags about standing over Goldberg, and he has a registered letter. Fucking also recent phrase that keeps being used. They found out about whiteboards and registered letters. So he reads a fake letter. It's from Goldberg. Lights are randomly going off behind him. They didn't fully do a cue right. And in the letter, it's so long. It's such a shit little promo here.
Oh, yeah.
Goldberg quits, oh, you are my god, Vince Russo. Your dick is so much bigger than mine, and I just, oh my god. I it's actively zoning out during this.
Oh, same. I didn't take any notes on this because I'm he's just going to talk for a minute, whatever. I don't want to read this man's book because I know that it's going to be that for however many pages that book is. It's just me zoning out because he's talking and then be like, oh shit, I need to read this book.
What are you talking about? The kids should look up to Russo. They cut to two kids looking absolutely bored. And yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Nothing exciting is that first match was exciting, but this is not exciting to kids.
Russo brings out Scott Steiner and commentary just pervs on Medeja.
I mean, she's cute, but yeah. Why? I'm so tired of commentary.
I think it's also no one's reining anybody in.
No. Tony Schiavone has clocked out mentally.
So Steiner says, I did everything I said I was going to do, and I need to apologize to Goldberg fans, because I just wanted to beat him up, and I know he's going to fucking quit. And this prompts massive Goldberg sucks chance.
Yeah. I forgot that Canada hated Goldberg so much.
Yeah. Kicking Bret Hart will do that.
Yeah, that's true.
So Steiner wants the world title and says he'll win the title next week and beat whoever wins between Booker and Sting, because that is an advertised match for this show.
Mm.
Russo then says he didn't approve Steiner's title match next week. And Jeff Jarrett comes out. Jarrett's like, I deserve a title shot because Sting didn't actually beat me. So, okay.
Sure.
Then it cuts off Jerry. He's like, the only thing you deserve is Steiner's foot in his ass. Russo then gets between Steiner and Jarrett and says he will decide to get a title shot. And this brings out Kevin Nash.
Of course it does, because he cannot be forgotten back there.
We get some We Want Hall chants, and I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, there were a couple of signs, too.
Nash says he deserves his rematch because he was cheated in the cage last night. And I'm like, how?
Yeah, what cheating?
The most I got was he exposed the turnbuckle and Booker, used it, but
you.
It was one of the most straightforward matches I've seen in WCW.
Yeah, there was no cheating there, dude.
Also, it's a cage match.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk about rules.
And, Booker pinned him. It wasn't Booker escaped, so it's yo, he didn't really beat me.
No. It was pretty straightforward.
He pinned it clean. So Russo says they all deserve a title match and books a tag match where the winner gets a title shot next week. So Russo puts Steiner and Jarrett together and it's like, oh, well then who's going to be Nash's partner? Swerve, bro. It's Russo.
Was there ever a moment where you thought it wasn't going to be Russo?
The fact that they're in Nassau Coliseum next week, I'm like, fuck, that's why you do it?
Yep.
Because you're in your fucking hometown? Fucking Mark.
As soon as it was announced that Russo was in this match, I was like, oh, this is how he wins the title. This is it.
Yep.
He's going to win tonight. He's going to win the title in his hometown. And yeah, I know it has to happen, so it must be here.
So, despite Vince Russo not being a trained wrestler, Jarrett, Steiner, and Nash are like, what? You're going to be in the back? What?
Why? That's crazy.
As Russo's leaving, did you catch Steiner's line?
No.
Mike Johnson's bigger than your arm.
Oh, I heard him say something's bigger than his arm. Yeah. I didn't catch what it was. That's very Steiner.
Back from commercial, the three argue, and Nash is like, I'm off tonight.
Oh, yeah, and then Jarrett's like, since when are you off Mondays?
Starting now.
Kevin like, Nash why? Is so checked out.
Why are they so fucking scared of Russo?
I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't make sense, because they're usually the ones that cheat for him, so therefore, like, who else would cheat for him? They can all just beat him up.
Yeah. Admittedly, I was ready for the patented Nitro swerve. We don't get it tonight.
Mm, that's true.
There's always next week, though.
I thought we did. I honestly, like, as it happened, I thought we got the swerve, but we didn't.
So we have a main event that is totally going to happen as advertised.
Uh-huh, 100%. And we all already know what the outcome's going to be, so, like, are we surprised?
Yeah, that's why what happens later is even more confusing.
Right?
Then get Shane Douglas and Tori Wilson in her best Sparky Plug cosplay. They come out to the ring. Douglas says to cut the music, but they're still showing Nitro still, so he has to
redo it. Oh my god. So somebody's like, no, Shane, you gotta wait a fucking minute. Shivani's still trying to fight for his life over here.
Douglas heels on the crowd and says last night wasn't enough for Tori, and challenges any other couple to come out and face them.
Who could it be?
So we get Queewee and Paisley.
Sure, why not? Queewee is making a lot of FaceTime.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So this match starts. Shane Douglas is in the ring. Mm-hmm. Queewee's in the ring. Mm-hmm. Paisley's on the apron. Tori Wilson's on the floor. Commentary does not know what the fuck's going on.
Nope.
And based on the finishes match, this is a tag match.
Yes.
But Queewee hits a 10-punch spot early, hits a running clothesline. Tori distracts Queewee, so he kisses her.
Assault?
It's also after he low blows Douglas, so it's like, okay, the interference didn't even work. Paisley pulls Tori off the apron and kicks her in the stomach.
She's mad that he kissed her, even though she saw how all of it happened. What? What?
I think I have Stacey Keebler PTSD because I saw a kick to the stomach and I'm like, no!
Pregnancy angle, oh no. No, Queewee kissed Tori. That is exactly what happened.
What a slut.
And now Paisley is mad that Tori kissed Queewee. How dare you take my man? What the fuck? You just saw this happen. Your eyes were right there. You watched all of this happen. What the fuck are you mad about?
Douglas hits a spinning franchiser and goes to the pin, but stops when Paisley's like, I want to fight Tori.
Because she's kissed my man, obviously.
So Douglas like drags Queewee's body to the corner so Paisley can tag in. And he goes to tag in Tori, but
bro. Yeah,
he hits a franchiser on Paisley and does the sexual pin. And
God.
Yeah, so Shane Douglas and Tori Wilson win. Tori Wilson never actually entered this match.
What the fuck was this match?
Like, does it even qualify as a match? Like,
it does. It was bell to bell. There was a pin, but like, what the fuck was this?
Like, what are you even setting up for?
Nothing. I don't think anything. Because all they did was make Queewee look bad and creepy and make Paisley look stupid.
Also, isn't he, like, maybe gay in kayfabe?
I mean, he kisses Paisley every time they come out.
Well, they go to kiss and he gives her the cheek.
Oh, I thought they actually did a peck this week.
It was on the cheek. I think he turned a little late, honestly.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I'm like, I worry this is going to end up leading to, like, Paisley versus Tori at fucking Halloween Havoc.
Or it's not going to lead to anything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's going to be a bikini contest next week, so.
Oh, yes, for Miss WCW.
Yeah.
We'll announce that more later.
A bikini contest on fucking September 25th in New York.
Yeah.
You know,
bikini weather.
Oh, God. Backstage, Vince Russo is doing push-ups, and I don't know what to make of this little detail, because no one's in the room with him at first. When we cut to him, he's like, 3001, 3002.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
who are you impressing?
Yeah.
Who are you lying to? Yourself? Because
it's not like the camera is meant to be like a phantom thing, so you're just lying to yourself?
I think he is. I think he's just lying to himself.
Kevin Nash comes in. Russo has a plan, but we don't get to hear it before commercial. And back from commercial, we're at the fucking chalkboard again.
Time for some more chalkboard doodles.
Yeah, so Russo's drawing. Nash is upset that his stick figure wasn't drawn with a big penis. So
Russo they draw adds a big stick. And like, let's talk about the anatomy here.
Sure.
If the dick was actually that long, it was like twice as long as the legs of the figure. That would just be a bear to carry around.
I don't know if we'll have a better time talking about this, but we recently remembered that he was in Magic Mike and you wanted to watch some of the clips.
Oh my God. I want to watch Magic Mike. Now, when I was in high school, I didn't really watch Magic Mike, not because I wasn't allowed, but I was kind of just like uncomfortable by it. I don't know. I personally don't want to watch it. My mom, I don't think, knew what it was. So I don't have any context for Magic Mike, really. So now I want to watch it. Now that I have like a Kevin Nash tie-in. We did watch a clip. He was ripped. I will give him that. He was ripped. Not hot. It's Kevin Nash. But he looked good.
Oh, did you note in Russo's drawing that he drew Jeff Jarrett with like a little guitar?
Oh no, I missed the guitar. I love these little doodles. I'm okay with keeping the chalkboards around.
So Nash does a whole drawing thing and writes out, "Bite me." It's the same joke as the fucking "you suck." It's literally the same joke. Yep. 20 minutes later.
Yep. I still Googled. I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, Nash says, "Bite me." And I thought it was like, oh, he wants to win. He's just not in the match.
Yeah. No, Bruce was like, "This is serious. Like, take this seriously." And Nash was like, "No, go fuck yourself."
Elsewhere backstage, Pamela Paulshock is with Booker T and Sting talking about their match.
This was such a vibe change.
Yeah.
Where we went from the stupid faffy doodle bite me to, this is very serious.
Yeah, Booker runs through his catchphrases and Sting kind of calls him on it. He's like, get fucking serious, dude.
Right.
So Booker like sucker punches Sting and then Sting like beats his ass.
And I'm like, I don't understand where this beef came from. I thought there was like some mutual respect between these two.
Yeah, I think I think it's just meant to be like, oh, they're really fired up because the title match and how important the title is. And that doesn't really come across.
No, it just seems like they're kind of hot-headed.
Elsewhere backstage again, Disco and his Disco Duck come into the cat's office.
What the fuck is this duck? So you were telling me that this is like a backstage inside joke.
I guess.
Like this duck just kind of travels.
I guess.
And they also keep referring to it as an inflatable duck.
Absolutely not.
This is plastic hard duck. Plastic. The way that it sounds, they're putting on the table and later when they use it, like this is hard plastic. This is not inflatable.
And the cat just keeps calling it a goose. By the way, apparently Disco Duck is like a 70s, like, you know, it's like a 70s song.
Yeah, you were telling me about, like, I thought when you told me it was a 70s song, it was going to tie in with Mike Awesome.
You know, it's funny, I didn't even think about that until you mentioned it, and I went, oh, fuck, please don't do it. Please don't have Disco feud with Mike Awesome.
Oh, my God. Over the duck. Yeah. Oh, that's absolutely something that they would do. The duck on a pole, 100%.
So, yeah, they have a little back and forth, because Disco's like, oh, Booker and Sting are fighting and the cat sucks, and Cat books him versus Disco, and if Disco wins, he'll be commissioner for a day. He's like, well, you need to put something on the line then. And Disco's like, all right, if I lose, you can strip Ray and Hoovy the tag titles.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah. So, yeah. We then see Booker and Sting are all amped up, and we go right into the cat versus Disco.
Okay, I have some beef. I knew that Disco had changed the spelling of his name.
Yes.
D-I-S-C-O. Quo, Disco, like status quo, right?
Yes.
No, it's D-I-S-Q-O. That's not how grammar works. That's not how words work. That is just stupid.
It's how Cisco spells
his
name.
Is it? Yes. I thought Cisco had a U.
No.
Then I also don't like how Cisco spells. That's just stupid. That's not how the English language works. Q has to be followed by U. Every single word with Q in it, if it is a English word, needs to be followed by a U. Disco, I think, is an English word. It might be Italian, but I don't think there are Qs in the Italian language. Still,
you're focusing,
I think, that's
way
also
too much
still
on this.
U. When the QO came up, I was like, this is the worst. This is my worst bit.
So the cat comes after the ring. We see the Filthy Animals rightly frustrated with Disco. And Disco's like, it's fine, do a run-in. This is on the screen. So the cat goes, if you guys run in, you're suspended for 3 months. It's like, oh, okay. Disco hits a duck shot to start. Cat hits one kick and wins.
Literally, as I was taking notes, I made a note on the duck, and my next note is, oh, it's over.
Yeah, it's one kick, it's over. Filthy Animals come out to kick Disco's ass. Miss Jones comes out with a fucking James Brown cape, and he does the big, like, Hulk up dance thing. What the fuck? Why?
Burial. Fuck these kids.
Like, Ray and Hoovy are healthy. Why did you need to have them strip the title? Just have them lose it. What the?
Right. I don't know. Because fuck them. That's why. Apparently, so now we can do a tournament for the tag titles next week.
Apparently it's going to be a battle royal.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Fucking battle royal.
This was fucking...
bad.
Yeah.
Quite bad.
I can't say it was pointless. I just don't get the point.
Yes. I think there is a point.
I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Backstage, Nash comes to Steiner and Jared's dressing room. He's like, I'm out of the match. I'm going to go drink it with the Thrillers. Boom's in the shot.
Oh, was the Boom's time? Yep. Missed that.
I think it's just because Kevin Nash is so tall.
Yeah. They can't get the right frame of the shot without the Boom being in.
Yeah. Jared and Steiner aren't happy. In the parking lot, Disco and his duck get into a car and leave the arena. Commentary speculates about who Russo's new partner is going to be. And then we cut to the David Flair segment from the pay-per-view.
This was the exact same yes, one, right? Yes. Okay. Because yeah. I fast-forwarded through it.
Oh, same. No, it is the same exact segment to the point where I'm trying to think when that aired. Did they air it on pay-per-view because the Filthy Animals and Thrillers match went short?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to think at what point in time that aired.
We'll have to go back and look at the timeline.
Yeah, I'm wondering, did they just have it ready for Nitro? And they went, okay, that'll eat up some time.
It was after that match.
So maybe.
So there's a chance.
Short version, David Flair is losing his mind. Mike Tenay is pretty much a dick. And, yeah.
Relive your trauma.
Yeah, and David attacks the mailman and breaks his leg.
Did they say he broke his leg?
Well, the mailman goes, I think he broke my leg.
Oh, okay.
I think he took his wallet.
We then get M.I. Smooth already in the ring.
Who is M.I. Smooth?
So he was the Cat's limo driver?
Right.
And
Was he the guy that was like, he had ideas for how to book the show?
Yes.
Okay. This memory. Yeah.
He also has like a theme song because he's in the ring and some song is playing. I'm like, okay.
Oh my God.
He calls out David Flair and he's like, I have something I want to give David if David will buy it off me. And it's a videotape and David runs out with a crowbar. M.I. Smooth Pelly doesn't know what this is.
A crowbar?
Because he calls it a pipe or whatever that is. And I'm like, it's a crowbar.
This M.I. Smooth is clearly a fan of the show. It can't be a crowbar because crowbar is a person.
Shut the fuck up. So, Smooth has a videotape. Apparently, Billy Kidman filmed Stacy Keibler having sex with somebody in M.I. Smooth's fucking limo. And I guess it had to be this guy. Apparently, Stacy could not have cheated with anybody else not in the limo. It had to be this one time.
This one dude, this one time that Billy Kidman apparently was watching.
Which also means you had to watch the whole thing to the end because pregnancy requires something very specific.
But also, can we just like, what if, oh God, will this lead to a spot with David Flair versus Billy Kidman because Billy Kidman watched his girlfriend cheat on him?
No, I don't think so. I know who David ends up feuding with, and it's not Kidman. No.
Damn.
So David Flair pays him, takes the tape, and then while Smooth is counting the money, David Flair hits him with the crowbar.
But
and,
doesn't take yeah. the money back. Why did he attack him?
Oh, Christ.
What the fuck?
Backstage, Scott Steiner and Jeff Jarrett come into Russo's locker room to yell at him.
They're just screaming at each other. There's no script, obviously. They're all just yelling, hoping to be the one to be yelling the loudest.
Until Russo's like, hey, what do you guys think of Chronic? And they just fucking bury Chronic. And apparently, Vince Russo was recording this conversation.
What did they say about Chronic?
They accurately called them a bit shit.
I don't remember anything they're saying being like that detrimental. So when this all came up, it's like, oh, we were recording the conversation. Yeah. What did they say?
They buried him a bit, but yeah, it wasn't anything like out of line.
No. Remember that.
Backstage, David Flair attacks a crew member for not playing the tape.
Yeah, he like gives the guy the tape and is like, okay, I'll go play it. Attack. What?
No, he said, I can't play it, or I won't play it.
Oh, did he say you can't? Okay.
Well, admittedly, also, it's like, somebody sex tape. Do you really want to just, you know?
Yeah, let's not show porn on this TV show, I guess.
Well, they did the one time. Remember, they teased up the whole fucking episode.
Which?
Of Tori and Shay Douglas.
But they didn't end up showing it.
Yeah. Or, I don't know, I guess technically it was Tori and Kidman, and then they, on Thunder or the next week, they had one of Shane Douglas where he couldn't get it up. And
I don't remember any of this storyline, and you know what? That's okay.
Yeah. Jesus, there's so much fucking segments and like no wrestling. Because
Russo can't not be the main character of this episode. He is adamant on being the only person that matters in this episode.
Terry Taylor tells Average Mike that Russo wants to see him. Russo wants Sanders to deliver an audio cassette tape to Chronic. And he's like, hey, like, you don't know where you got this. Just like, don't involve me.
Okay.
In a line that I don't know if it's meant to have a double meaning or not, when Sanders agrees, Russo tells him he kisses the best ass in the business. And I'm like, are you meant to be complimenting yourself there too or no?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I think he was just calling Mike Sanders a kiss ass.
Yes. Sanders leaves the room, does a little jump, and he's like, he likes me.
Yeah, he likes me. No, you're just easily manipulated and you're kind of stupid.
And then we get a tease for Thunder, and I just got mad because I'm like, when are we done with Stacey? Because apparently she's a fucking interview on Thunder.
I was going to give you shit for this. When we did the whole wedding angle, you're like, and now we say goodbye to Stacey Keebler.
And she showed up the fucking
next. She has a sit-down interview scheduled for Thunder. What the fuck, Nick?
It's the fucking warrior all over again. I will cover whatever that is in the next weather report.
Where there's always Thunder.
Our next match, not our main event, it's the WCW title match of Booker T versus Sting.
Like, this is probably going to be the best worked match of the night. For the first half.
On paper, it would be. They get in each other's face and shove each other before the bell. They jockey for position in the corner, but, like, clean break, so both are still faces. They go into some chain wrestling. Sting counters a scissor kick with a clothesline and then hits a scoop slam, but Booker gets his knees up on a diving splash. Booker hits the Harlem USA sidekick and a scissor kick. Sting goes for a scorpion death drop, but Booker like spins nicely trying to turn it into a bookend.
Mm.
And Sting counters that with a Fujiwara armbar. I'm like, what the fuck?
I've not heard that word, but I like it.
Booker gets to the ropes, but eats two Stinger splashes, and Sting goes for the scorpion deathlock, where he, I guess, would have had Booker beat. But Jeff Jarrett comes in, hits Sting with a guitar.
Sure.
Which, oh, Emily, there's interference. What happens?
Nothing.
Match ends in a DQ.
Oh!
They actually, yeah, right, so they do right, exist. Right. And it happened in the ring. You can't even claim outside.
Yeah, all right.
That's, yeah, the problem is they just didn't want to have anybody actually lose. So they're like, all right, it's DQ. Just send Jared out there. I don't know.
They really are doing Sting and Booker real dirty these days. Just let these two men go out and work well.
Booker attacks Jared, so Steiner runs out, suplexes Booker. Sting is on the top rope for no reason
because
he just drops down, clotheslines Steiner, turns around into a Jeff Jarrett guitar shot. Steiner locks Booker in the Steiner recliner, and Jarrett locks in a figure four on Sting. And
I kind of like that spot. I thought that was cool. The two of them doing their finishers in sync. Like, I like that.
Yeah, like the match had a predictable non-finish. But like, yeah, I think the post-match actually like did well to get some heat on Jarrett and Steiner.
It did. It did. Like, not necessarily that they needed more heat, but like, it worked.
I mean, you never have enough.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, like oh shit, an effective segment.
Who'd have thunk?
You just did it at the expense of Booker looks like a fucking chump.
Yeah.
Backstage, Mike Sanders delivers the tape to Brian Clark. David Flair doesn't know how videotapes work. Jimmy Hart tries to explain it, so David attacks Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, why? Jimmy Hart did nothing wrong there. He even got a thanks from David. But still, fuck you.
Different tape. Chronic gives that tape to the cat. Apparently the tape is Jarrett and Steiner talking about Chronic, so that was meant to be a big swerve.
Sure. The fact that we didn't really get a clear idea of what was on that tape makes it entirely ineffective.
So, Cat books a tag match of Jarrett and Steiner versus Chronic. Remember that.
Right. Also note that that is now double booking Jarrett and Steiner for the evening.
Yes.
They are now in two tag matches tonight.
Lance Storm then comes out to the ring to a loving ovation with Major Guns and Alex Skipper.
Yeah, people are Canada. Hype. Yeah.
Storm says that last night was real good to Team Canada with two wins and they kept Major Guns. And Storm brings out the newest member of Team Canada, Jim Duggan.
But
and,
looking clean.
Yeah. Cut his hair, shaved his beard.
Looks so different.
So I did laugh at this where this is Duggan's big like heel promo. But because they're in Canada, it's like not a heel promo.
No, everyone's loving it. It's like, yeah, one of us.
And Jim says the U.S. fans treated him like garbage and like cites the Goldberg match. Where it's like, I got like stretchered out, like fighting for my life. And all the U.S. fans were just chanting Goldberg. I'm like, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong at all.
This is a very justifiable heel turn. I mean, I guess because it's the U.S. fans, but I'm like, look, I get you being upset with people, but like, doesn't really explain why you're like, oh yeah, Canada.
Let's right. Do that. I don't know.
Doug calls for the Canadian national anthem, but MIA instead run out and the bell rings?
Now this is a match.
Six-man tag, I guess. MIA triple team Skipper taboos. We get a missile dropkick doomsday device kind of thing from MIA. Duggan tags in and commentary calls out the lack of retirement.
Hey, you're right.
Duggan hits the Old Glory knee drop and they're like, oh yeah, I guess that needs a new name, doesn't it?
Didn't John Cena also mention something about, oh my God, yeah, the Raw after Mania. I'm so sorry, we're jumping around, but the retirement thing. The Raw after Mania, John Cena cut a promo and you would have fucking thought that I wrote this promo because he would make a point, I would make a comment, and then he would like respond to my comment in real time. It was bizarre. He made a comment about retiring and I'm like, yeah, like you're gonna fucking retire. And he's like, and then I am going to retire. Like, I am done. Unlike these other guys. I'm like, what the fuck? What's happening? Nick came literally like, did you already watch this? Like, I know it's live, but did you somehow see this already?
Ilya Skipper hits a belly to belly, and Sergeant AWOL goes to illegally get involved, so Skipper dives on him, gets caught, gets chokeslammed through a table at ringside. Not a DQ.
Nope. Because is this a match?
Rekshin gets the hot tag, takes down Storm, but he wants Duggan. Storm uses the distraction to hit a super kick. Duggan comes in with a 2x4. Ref fully sees this. He literally pushes the ref out of the way to hit the shot.
Get.
He takes out MIA and pins Hugh G. Rekshin. Post-match, Team Canada pilmanize Rekshin's leg, and Mark Madden points out, it's like, well, at least it happened here because healthcare's free.
That's a good point. I also thought this was kind of fun. Liked this.
It was kind of a mess.
It was kind of a mess, but it was fun.
I'm fine with Duggan on Team Canada.
Yeah, I have no problem with that at all. It makes sense. The fact that he's justifying it makes sense.
They also just need more members.
True.
The two of us like Lash LaRue and Chavo, so them doing fun spots is always going to get a little pop out of us.
Yeah, I'm not mad.
That said, fucking choke slammed through a table by somebody not in the match. It's fine.
Fuck it. The bar for what is acceptable for us is getting increasingly low.
Jared came in, hit one punch. Whoa, DQ.
I know. Oh, I know. But this was a bit of fun, a bit of faff, and we're like, yeah, all right, this passes.
Backstage, Steiner and Jarrett confront Russo. Steiner just yells. I didn't get a single word of what the fuck he said.
Neither did I.
Russo feigns innocence and then panics about his partner. They get Mike Awesome and his bus arriving. Gary Coleman is here and he wants revenge on Jeff Jarrett. This will not come up in the episode.
Nope, we do not see him again later.
I had to come to you this morning and be like, before we record, I didn't miss anything, right?
Nope. He just got off the bus and then went on to probably another bus to go to the airport and just go home.
In the background, ICP and Vampiro sneak towards the bus.
You're sneaky, yes.
Our next match is Chronic versus Jeff Jarrett and Scott Steiner. Or at least, is it? Because, Kevin Nash's music hits, and he comes out with the Natural Born Thrillers.
There are so many Natural Born Thrillers. There's like a herd of Natural Born Thrillers.
There's seven of them.
There's too many. Give some of them to Team Canada, because they need people.
Nash and Chronic aren't in the same league as Steiner and Jarrett. I'm like, that's just true.
That's correct.
So Nash calls for two volunteers to face Chronic. It ends up with Johnny the Bull and Mike Sanders. Chronic kills them almost immediately. Rito and Palumbo get in, also get killed. But, like, Palumbo actually gets some offense, so I'm like, okay, what to make of that? Jindrak and O'Hare go to come down, but Chronic are attacked by Steiner and Jarrett. Charles Robinson gets distracted for reasons.
Sure.
Counts the pin after Jarrett hits a stroke and pins Bryan Adams. What is happening?
I think we got confused on the logistics of this match, too, because, like, it was supposed to be Steiner and Jeff Jarrett versus Chronic. It ended up being Chronic versus a slew of people, and then Jarrett and Steiner come out.
But Jarrett and Steiner win the match.
Right.
So, I guess, technically, the match was always Chronic and Jarrett and Steiner,
but
and the
Natural
Born
like,
Thrillers
gauntlet?
Were just interfering.
I guess.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could call them, like, going through a gauntlet before getting to Jarrett and Steiner, but still.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know either, dude. Like, again, the bar for what is acceptable is low, and even this doesn't clear that.
Like, nobody looks good coming out of this.
No one looks good coming out of this episode. Which is why I have such a hard time filling my three categories at the end.
Because, like, I know they have a match later, but what you're also implying is that Jarrett and Steiner can't beat Chronic without seven guys' help.
Right.
And the seven guys look like shit, and Kevin Nash is like, Jesus Christ.
Right.
We then see Vince Russo knocking on a door. We don't know whose door it is. Elsewhere backstage, Mike Awesome and Pamela are chatting with 3Count. They're like, hey, you see what happened to your bus? What? Takes 3 steps. Hey, there's the bus.
And it's covered in graffiti.
Yes.
How did you miss this? You weren't that far away.
So apparently Mike Awesome is like, who could have done this? It says like ICP rule all over it. It's like, who the fuck do you think?
No, it was definitely a setup.
Before we get more of that, Vince Russo enters the room. Apparently, he has been waiting the entire time that we went to commercial and Mike Awesome segment to go from knocking on the door to walking in the room.
Yep.
But it's Sting's locker room. Sting chokes him, but Russo is like, do you want a fucking title match? Like, this is your way to get it.
It's showtime, Vince.
Yeah. Sting aggressively agrees, and
Russo kind of tells him that, like, you're kind of shit. Your heart's not in it anymore. Like, if you want this, do you fucking want it? Like, prove to me you want it.
Yeah, it's like, all right, you know, you can win a title shot, and you can beat up Jeff Jarrett. So, like, seems like a pretty good deal for you.
Yeah, it does seem like a pretty good deal.
Mike Awesome comes out, and he has new music.
Is this new music?
Yeah. Because he had, like, the old Revolution theme for a while, and I'm like, oh, no, now this is, like, 70s music.
Oh, I didn't even catch the change.
It's over.
Sorry. They've massacred your boy.
At this point, Tony Schiavone hypes up the swimsuit contest. And Mark Madden notes that Howard Stern's Whack Pack will be here next week.
What?
Notably, not Howard Stern.
What is the Whack Pack?
Just a group of weird people who he'd have on his show and be like, oh, it's zany. They're fucking weird.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to see them next week.
Yeah.
I assume next week is the fucking Beetlejuice thing, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know what you mean.
One of the guys is named Beetlejuice.
Okay. Why?
I don't fucking know, man.
What is up with radio personalities in the early 2000s? Just use your name.
I think at some point we do get another Man Cow match. I don't know when.
Jesus.
But I think we get another one.
Man Cow.
Mike Awesome has a mic. He challenges Vampiro to a hardcore match for messing up the parked family bus. And, Vampiro comes out with a kendo stick, so we have a match.
It is a hardcore match.
Mike Awesome starts in his fucking full leisure suit, but, like, the top gets stripped, but he's still wrestling in fucking slacks and loafers.
Yeah, he is.
He's hitting diving moves in goddamn loafers.
I mean, he's doing all right, though.
Yeah, Awesome gets stripped and gets caned. Awesome catches Vampiro and hits a belly-to-belly. Awesome then hits a running dive to the floor, hits some weapon shots on Vampiro before sending him into the crowd.
We also get some strong ECW chants here, too.
Vampiro hits a dive from, like, a raised section of the crowd as, like, not the best camera angle. I feel like they had a better one and they cut to a worse one.
Yeah.
They continue to brawl through the crowd. And admittedly, I was like, I was getting into this match.
Yeah, and so was the audience. The audience loved this.
Awesome goes to swing a crutch that just falls apart mid-swing. So he's like, all right, just use all the other weapons a little bit.
Yeah.
Awesome grabs a table and sets it up at ringside, but throws Vampiro into the ring. Awesome counters a superplex while standing on the top rope in fucking loafers and hits a diving clothesline. Like, he was wobbly up there. I'm like, oh.
He was wobbly. But credit to him, where he stayed up there when he pushed Vampiro off, he kept his core engaged, yeah. Did not fall off himself, and was still able to do a diving move off the top.
Yeah, he pushes Vampiro off. He's like, get up. I gotta dive. Come on.
It was good. Like, he looked strong.
Awesome tries for a powerbomb to the floor, but Vampiro slips out and smashes Awesome with a trash can. Awesome low blows Vampiro, and then, actually, fuck me, hits the powerbomb over the top rope to the table on the floor. I was like, oh, shit. Awesome pins Vampiro, who is, like, just like a pile of table. Like, I don't know if his shoulder's down, but he's out.
He's out. Yeah. He's done. Just count it.
I was like, oh, shit, I really enjoy this cutaway. Fucking yeah, 3 seconds later.
Not allowed to enjoy it at all.
Yeah, this was a nice little surprise.
It was. That's what I'm saying. Like, the matches were not entirely bad on this show. It's just everything else sucked. Yeah.
That's the problem with Vampiro, is that, like, he can work good matches. We've seen it. He's just such a bad promo.
Well, that's how I feel about Jeff Jarrett. Like, when you give Jeff Jarrett the opportunity to wrestle, he looks good, but don't give him a microphone. That just kills his character.
Yeah. Well, Emily, how else do you know that he's the chosen one?
Listen here, slap ass. Like, shut up. Stop talking. Just wrestle.
Yeah, we cut away to see Booker T confronting Russo, and we cut away from that. Like, oh, okay.
It's just like a stare down.
We then go to David Flair. Apparently, he has watched the tape and smashes the tape. We don't get to see this at any point.
We never get to see the tape, because he smashes it with the crowbar. Can we, like, take a breath for a second?
The show says no, you can't.
I am so tired. We've only been recording for a little over an hour, but I am just like, woof, this is a lot. Like, so much is happening so quickly.
But nothing is happening.
Correct.
It's like, we don't need three segments to see a single conversation, but it's like, all right, we got to see him walking down the hallway. Then we got to see him knocking on the door. Then we got to see him in the room. And it's like,
ugh, you're right. No, you're right. What you said after the hardcore match is true. Like, there is no time to breathe between segments. Like, if you blink for a second, you're going to miss something. But is it worth watching? That's the other question that never really gets asked. Like, yes, Russo's whole thing is, like, keep them engaged, keep them entertained the entire time. But is it worth being engaged to?
I think the ratings would suggest no.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, we are at our main event.
Oh, my God.
Yes, so our match, as advertised, is Scott Steiner and Jeff Jarrett versus Vince Russo and Sting.
Sure.
And
originally was Vince Russo and Nash.
Yes.
Nash pulled out. Now it's Sting. Bada bing, bada bam.
Yes. And we're going into this match. Both of us are like, okay, cool. We know who wins. We just don't know how we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Steiner comes out in the chainmail. And when it's time for Russo to come out, Booker T comes out. So there's 9 minutes left in this show.
Yes. I was watching this timeline closely.
And it's just questionable stakes. Because commentary keeps pointing out, so if Booker wins, what the fuck happens?
Yeah, they're right. I don't feel like they're supposed to point that out. Because, like, this happens a lot where, like, oh, we're going to have a match for the title next week, but there's also a title match tonight, so if the person who wins the title loses it, then that title match next week, what happens to that?
But, like, that's a thing of, like, okay, you can change the stuff for next week. This is, if this guy wins the match, we don't know what that means.
Right.
Like, it's not even like, oh, because someone won the title, changes are going to happen. This is, if this guy wins,
Yeah.
And notably, the bell rings here. So Booker is considered a legal participant in this match.
Right. Right. And so the ref is just like, all right, fine. Booker's here.
Everyone brawls until a Booker dropkick and Sting drops a masked Steiner onto the announce table. I was like, when the fuck did you put the mask on?
Yeah, this keeps happening. Like, he doesn't come out in the face mask, but all of a sudden he's in the face mask.
Sting hits a diving splash in the ring, and I'm like, is this just a tornado tag match? Because you guys seem to be, like, fairly brawling. It's not. They go to being on the apron later.
Sure.
Get a Harlem sidekick to both men after a botched one to Steiner. Stinger splash to both men, and Sting locks in a scorpion deathlock on Jarrett as Booker goes for the bookend. But Medeja comes in, breaks up both these with a pipe. Not a DQ.
Not a DQ.
For some reason, Miss Jones runs out, and she trips Medeja, hits a soft scoop slam on the floor, and they, I'd say, brawl to the back, but that's giving it too much credit.
That is giving it way too much. She barely has a grip on her hair.
Why is she out here?
I don't know. I'm guessing the cat sent her out to, like, keep the odds even. I don't know, man. But, like, Miss Jones' grip on Medeja, there is nothing in her hand. Like, it's supposed to be, like, grabbing her at the nape of her neck and dragging her. There is no dragging.
So after this, yes, we go back to, like, it's a regular tag. People are on the aprons. I'm like, what is happening? And then commentary really hits the, why is Booker out here? What the fuck? Like, what are the stakes of this match?
There are none.
Steiner hits a backbreaker after yelling, here's your world champion. He sucks.
Damn.
Jarrett hits a Glargay sleeper on Booker as we rest for a minute. Like, we even get the fucking arm drop. I'm like, Jesus.
I've kind of just, like, stopped paying attention to the match because I know what we're waiting for. It's very standard wrestling between these four guys. Like, I've seen it all before. I know what we're waiting for, and the time just keeps ticking down.
Well, like, yeah, even the crowd kind of loses it, because, like, Booker hits a big, like, delayed vertical suplex.
Oh,
like,
yeah, and it looked great.
Crowd doesn't pop. Oh, okay. We've talked a lot about the rules and what the fuck.
Yeah.
This next spot, I was screaming.
Oh, no. Because we watched this separately, for the record.
Both men are down after the suplex. And referee is like, okay, well, both are down. I got to count. You got to be up by 10. Scott Steiner gets in the ring and kicks Booker to keep him down. And the ref just keeps counting. I'm like,
that
what?
That would break the count.
Yeah. I'm like, wait. So if you just get stopped, oh, sorry, you're both down. Like, wait.
Jesus.
What? Like, just start from one. It's all you have to do. Because they're going to get up. That's not the finish. So, like,
obviously. And again, I am looking at the timeline for this, too. We are probably at, like, 4 minutes left in the file.
We get a T-bone suplex to Booker, and Steiner ducks a Harlem sidekick. Both men go down on a clothesline. Sting gets the hot tag, takes out both men, and then immediately goes to the outside. So it's like, all right, so Sting's the legal man, but okay.
None of it matters.
Booker hits a scissor kick on Steiner. Sting and Jarrett just go up the ramp.
Yep.
Okay. Booker hits a 10-point spot. We then get Chronic coming out to attack Jeff Jarrett. Booker takes off Steiner's mask, and Steiner hits a blatant low blow to Booker. No DQ.
Nope.
Steiner then locks in a Steiner recliner. Vince Russo then limps out, and I can't tell if this was intentional bad acting or just he's a bad actor.
I think it was just a bad actor. Because what we're supposed to imply as the audience happened is in that stare down segment where Booker went into Russo's dressing room, Booker beat up Russo and took his spot in the match tonight.
But Russo approached Booker.
Right.
So
I don't know. I don't know. So we also, with his hobbling down the ramp, we are at 3 minutes left in the show.
Steiner goes after Russo, but Booker swings Russo's baseball bat at Scott Steiner's fucking face.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus.
And even commentary sells is like, oh, his face is already broken. It's even more broken now.
Booker then puts Russo on Steiner, and Russo wins, despite not being in this match.
Because of Booker's help.
Yeah.
So immediately, before anything else happened, I was like, this is another fucking work. They're working together. I hate it here. We've done another one of these stupid endings where we think that these two are fighting and now they're not. Bye.
But what it is Booker wants to fight Russo next week. Yeah. So
so it's not that kind of a flippy ending.
Admittedly, Booker did just give himself the easiest of all the opponents.
I mean, yeah.
He did just take the fucking easy road. I know it's you want to beat up Vince Russo, but like, you kind of just...
I don't blame him at all. I mean, I would kind of do the same thing. But you're right. Russo was not in the match. We started the match without Russo.
Yeah, like, they're just going for Booker wants to fight Russo, and then they're doing a terrible job of telling that story.
Oh, my God.
Because also, you just beat him up, apparently.
Uh-huh.
So this was a mess, and the fact that so many people got swapped in and out, I'm like, I don't care... I don't care until the interference. And, like, that's just what I'm conditioned at this point.
Right. Especially when we know that this is the interference.
Yeah, admittedly, I'm like, of all the Nitros where I'm like, all right, I'll take a fucking 2 minute main event. Right. And they actually gave us like a 10 minute one. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Fuck it.
This was a fucking mess of a show.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, they're going for Car Crash TV. They're fucking getting it.
Yeah. It really was that. It was a car crash. Because, like, like I keep saying, there were points where this show was not the worst. This is not the worst episode, but it also was, like, pretty fucking bad.
It really felt like an episode where I'm like, God, I just want to, like, walk away from this one.
Yes! There were so many points where I just wanted to be done.
And, yeah, no Goldberg at all. I know we'll get him next week, but... Yeah.
I don't know that I've had that kind of feeling with a lot of the past episodes. I know we've had episodes where we watch it in multiple sittings just because, like, we're tired or it's a lot. But I think we do need to start clocking, like, we just wanted to be done with this episode. We didn't want to come back to it later. We just wanted to change the channel.
I think I watched this in 4 parts.
Did you really? Yeah. I think I watched it in 2. But that's, like, that is very telling. If we don't want to take a break, we want to go away, that is different.
Yeah. And to add to it, I forget which week it is, but, like, Steve Austin is, like, about to come back to WWF.
Oh, we're fucked. Yeah. This show's over.
Well, Emily, our show isn't over until we go through our best bit, worst bit, and MVP. What did you come up with for your best bit?
You're going to be mad. I gave it to the first match. I had a lot of fun with it. You know what? I'm going to lean into the bit. Because I know that it was like bad rule following, whatever. It was so entertaining. It was just entertaining. And I think... that counts a lot more these days.
I'm going with Mike Awesome and Vampiro.
I knew you were. Yeah, yeah, that one didn't like hit me the way that it hit you, but I don't blame you for it. That probably was the best match on the card.
Yeah, that one carried me through to the main event where I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I can do it. I have a little bit of life back in me.
Emily, what is your worst bit of the show? We're spoiled for choice here.
We sure were. It's hard to pick just one, and I don't think that I can pick all of the, like, backstage shit with Russo. I think that's just too easy. So I gave it to Shane versus Kiwi. Kiwi, sorry. Okay. That whole thing was just so fucking
stupid. Technically,
that
is a tag match, Emily.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't, though.
I'm between two, and both of them have the question of, who the fuck is in this match? And I think I gotta give it to the one that actively buries 7 people. I think I gotta go with... Chronic versus Jared and Steiner, but also versus the Natural Born Thrillers.
Yeah.
I should not leave a match confused about who was in the match.
That's valid. And this is the absolute burial of all the Natural Born Thrillers.
I was real close to giving it to the main event, though. But like,
oh, that was bad.
It was logically bad. There was some good action. That's the only reason they got saved.
Yeah.
Is that the people in it can actually wrestle.
They can, and you're right. But when it doesn't matter and when we don't care because we're just waiting for something else to happen, does it constitute a best bit?
I think I'm also...
Like, or a worst bit, I should say.
I think I'm also like reverse grading on a curve because... At the time, people didn't know Russo wins. Like, we had that kind of, yeah, so.
That's fair.
We might be adding a little extra on that.
That is true.
That is what it is. Emily, who is your MVP?
I kind of want to give it to Tigress. She pinned four men.
Yeah, but she didn't do much.
I mean, she was carried through that match by Ray, so maybe give it to Ray.
I'm giving it to Ray. We were noting, like, oh shit, he's back.
We can give it to Ray. I'm okay with
that. Yeah, I think that's my way, at least going. Some of the in-ring action in that match is good, but the overall logic killed me. But yeah, Ray was very good.
Yeah, for sure.
But that is going to do it for this episode of the Butt Seats Podcast. Next up is just the...
next episode.
That's true and that's not true, Emily.
Oh, no.
Because the next Nitro, we've noted, it's the Vince Russo win in the title one. So it's not just any... Oh, it's the next one. Oh,
Lord
God.
Have mercy.
But until then, you can listen to all of our back catalog, including our WrestleMania 41 episode, everywhere podcasts are found, except for SoundCloud. You can follow us on social media. We're still doing a ton over there, but, you know, it's a thing.
We're over there. We're mostly on, like, Twitter and Blue Sky at this point.
At Butts in the Pod or Butts in the Seats Podcast. And then for the Patreon, patreon.com/buttsintheseats. Later today, we're going to be recording part two of Controversy Creates Cash, because we did the first part, and it went really long. We went... Oh, shit, this will be a two-parter.
Yeah, we're going to do two parts.
Maybe three?
No, I hope not. Okay.
And then once we finish that, we are back to TNA's new Monday Night Wars. And in July, we're going to do some Lex Express.
Let's go! We got a lot going on over on the Patreon. It's a lot of fun over there. That's where we do all of our faffy, stupid shit.
Emily, any closing thoughts before we get to one of the most infamous Nitros in history?
I'm scared. But also, that means we're almost done with Russo.
Yeah.
So there is a light at the end of this tunnel.
We have two more. It's literally it.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's wild.
But until that next doomed episode, I'm Nick.
I am Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats Podcast.
Yeah, bye.